Thank you for giving me this opportunity to just encourage you guys and hopefully edify you. My name is Ruby Ann. If I haven't met you, but I think... Wait, I haven't met you. I think I've met almost everyone. So I'll have to meet you later. My name is Ruby Ann, as I said, and my husband Andrew and I, we have three sons. Our oldest is Elias. He's 14 years old. Our second, JD, is 12. And Thomas, our youngest, is 10 years old. And before we had children, I worked outside of the home in graphic design. And did that for a few years. But when God blessed us with kids, we decided that I would stay home with them. My husband believed that this was the best for our family, and I personally desired to do this. You know, we've heard a lot these past 2 days about the task of parenting. You know, what God expects of parents, what God expects of our kids, how we're to shepherd the hearts of our kids and not just deal with their behavior, the need for discipline, instruction, and training. And, you know, this task that all these things that God calls us to do in this task of parenting, it's been given to us by God, okay? And when my husband and I had children, we thought of all these things in that way, that this responsibility was given to us for our children as mother and father. And so we knew that the responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, that responsibility fell directly on us. Okay, we've already seen and heard that if you're a Christian, you're a disciple of Christ, and God's called you to make disciples, right? Make disciples of all the nations. And we see that in Matthew 28. And so we saw this task of parenting as a part of that commission. But we also knew that we can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural strength of Christ. You know, just as Aaron and Andrew had reminded us, we can't save our children. You know, only God can do that. But God calls us to lead our children to Christ. And so it's a sobering thought that even though God has called us to this task, we need Him to actually fulfill and bring about the results of salvation. So, for that reason, we wanted to make sure that we would be the biggest influence in their lives. And so we wanted our voices for our kids. We wanted our voices to be the loudest voice that they will hear. We didn't want the competing voices of their friends, of the world, or whatever else to drown out what we were trying to teach them about God and about the truths of God. So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to stay at home and be with them. And now, 14 years later, I'm still home with all three of my kids. And I'm very thankful because I can actually parent them when I'm at home with them. You know, in order for us to model Christ and to model a godly life, you have to be with your kids for them to see it. And so that's why it's just important that you make this a priority. I really believe that one of the biggest advantages of staying home with your children is that advantage of time. Because when you're at home with your kids, you're there for when they have those major life questions. You know, when they ask about God, when they ask about themselves and their sin, you are there to address those issues. And you're there also for kind of the normal, everyday things that happen with your kids. You're there to referee fights between siblings. And you point them to forgiveness. You point them to how God wants them to reconcile and be at peace with one another. I'm there when they're fearful or scared. I'm there to show them that they can have comfort in Christ. They can trust Christ. And that God gives peace when you go to Him. You know, so there have been so many opportunities since I've been at home with my kids just to point them to Christ and the gospel. And if I had continued to work outside of the home, I don't think I would have had as many opportunities as I did, just to speak truth into their lives. And I know that certain situations and circumstances will make it difficult for some women to stay home with their kids. You know, various reasons. But as much as God enables you, I would just encourage you ladies to take advantage of that opportunity to be with your children as much as you can. To do what Titus 2 exhorts women to do. To love your husbands, to love your children, to be sensible, pure workers at home. I would encourage you to pour your life into your kids, especially when they're young. You know, just as Andrew was saying, you may feel like you're doing something insignificant, but really you are parenting towards a goal. You're parenting towards a result that will happen later. And so you have to look at it in that sense. You won't see fruit right away sometimes, and you will feel like, oh, I'm doing this over and over and over again. But you have to trust in God's ways. This is the way He has called parents to raise up their children. And you have to trust that He knows what He's doing. His ways are higher than our ways. And so, for those who don't have children, or maybe you've raised your children and they're adults now, this call to love our children, it actually can be applied to you. And I think the men touched on that a bit. You know, by God's design, there's a uniquely feminine quality in all women to be nurturing. I mean, wouldn't you say that? So love the children that are in your lives, whether they're your own or not. They could be grandchildren, nieces, nephews, children in your church. So use this nurturing, loving quality and apply that to the children in your lives. So today, I want to just look at this calling of motherhood and nurturing and to just consider it as of first importance. Similarly to how Paul considered his delivery of the gospel to the Corinthians, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I delivered the gospel as of first importance. What that means is it was a priority. And it was the priority, if you think about it. It's of first importance. And so Andrew and Aaron have kind of taught us so much, right, about the specifics of this call to preach the good news to our children, to bring the gospel to them. And so I want to take just a brief look at a passage in John 17, so you guys could turn there, just to remind us who it is that has called us to this ministry of motherhood. It's Christ. And it's also Christ who strengthens us and enables us to fulfill it. So I just want to take this brief time just to encourage you ladies, because I think we've heard so much about how to do this, the specifics of it, and how we can apply these things directly into our families. But I want to encourage you just by reminding you that this is a high calling and it comes from Christ. And so we should really see it as a priority. And not only that, but He gives us all the resources that we need to do this. Okay, so in John 17, here in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus' earthly ministry is nearing its end. He says to the Father, my hour has come for me to return to you, Father. You know, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. I manifested your name and your words to these disciples, and they have received and believed me. So now, as I leave them, I pray for them, knowing that they have a difficult road ahead of them. Okay, so if you guys could go to verse 14, I'm just going to read it. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So this is Jesus praying to the Father, okay? And He's talking about His disciples here. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So when Jesus prayed this, he was praying for his disciples, right? He was commissioning them. He's about to leave, go back to the Father. And so he's saying, okay, disciples, I'm leaving you, but I'm giving you this task. I want you to go into the world. Okay, I'm sending you into the world. And essentially, Jesus is saying, Father, just as I represented you and made you known to these disciples, they will now represent me and make God known to the rest of the world. Now, if you go down to verse 20, can someone read verse 20 there?
I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word.
So Jesus is saying there that there's going to be those who believe in me through their word. Who do you guys think this is? Who is that referring to? Yeah, and it's even us. It's all the people who are going to be hearing what these disciples back, you know, how many years ago, they have learned from Christ. Christ is commissioning them to go into the world, and now the people who will hear from those disciples, they will make disciples, and those disciples will make disciples on down to us and now to our children. Did you have a question? Okay. So this commission wasn't just for the disciples, but it's also for us. It's also for even, like I said, or like you said, right? Our children and their children and their children. So this same charge to be a witness for Christ has been given to you, since we're talking with mothers and women here. This task has been given to us as a mother. So we've been called to represent Christ to our children. And no one else can do this. As a mother, you're uniquely fit by God to be that mother for your children. You've been called to point them to Christ in a way that no one else can. And others can help you and support you, as I said before. You know, we have grandmothers, aunties, friends, the church body. We have people to help us and support us. But the responsibility and the commission to point your kids to Christ, it falls on you as their mother. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, Jesus is sending you into the world. And right now, in this season of life, your world is really your children. Okay, especially if you have young children. He's calling you to represent him to them, so make sure that you are doing well in this task. This ministry of motherhood, it's a privilege, but it's also a difficult one because there's going to be opposition. Okay, so as you point your kids to Christ, you're basically trying to reach, as the men have been teaching us, you're trying to reach hard, rebellious hearts. They love their sin. They don't want to give it up. And they hate God, basically, because that's what God expects of them. God expects our children to give up those idols and to turn to him. And so sometimes when you are trying to reach those hearts, you're going to experience opposition. Also, you're dealing with the corrupt influences of the world, just as Andrew was talking about. Things that are competing for your kids' affections. You know, I'm always finding myself guarding them, especially when they were young, guarding them from making idols out of everything. You know, it could be Barbie dolls. My sons didn't play with Barbie dolls, but Legos, cars, toys. And then as they got older, the video games, the devices, the phones, you're constantly correcting when they're exposed to the world's sinful values. Even in the TV shows and movies that they watch, even children's shows. I don't know if you guys know the Tolentinos, Angelo and Chinette. They were here in India for a while, and so she had mentioned to me her kids were watching a show here in India, and she thought, oh, it's a cartoon, it's okay. And when she looked closely, it was about a lot of Hindu gods. And so she realized, wow, you know, even that is going to influence our kids, so we have to be careful. Back in America, you know, you think of, we have Disneyland, Mickey Mouse. You guys know Disney, right? And so even those seemingly innocent things, they teach our children certain values that go contrary to Scripture. A lot of it talks about self and very man-centered things and just serve to point our kids away from Christ. And so we have to be careful with those things. And lastly, your ministry can be challenged because you need to deal with your own heart and guard your own self against sin. And this has been talked about throughout, but just as a reminder, you know, you may have fears about your children's future, or you may doubt that your efforts in trying to raise them are even working because you don't see change in your kids, right? You don't see the fruit. So you can be tempted to grow weary and to just give up. You know, just as they were saying earlier, you can become lazy, right? Or when disciplining your kids, or you can feel like, this is too hard. Maybe I'll just let this slide this one time, you know. But just as the men said, you're basically training them to sin more. That's really what it is. And so that's one temptation. You can also face the temptation to become bitter or angry. Maybe you have a really stubborn child who doesn't want to submit to your authority. And what ends up happening is they make you and they make everybody else in the family miserable. And so it's tempting to become bitter and angry. But you have to deal with that in your own heart before you can deal with your child. Or maybe you're discontent because you're looking at other parents and their experiences and you're thinking, they have it so much easier than I do. Why is that? But again, deal with that discontent. You need to trust that God is sovereign. He's put you in this situation with this child who's uniquely yours. You're uniquely fit to parent this child, and God gives you the resources to raise them up in His ways. So these are real, very real temptations for moms, and Jesus knows how difficult it can be. And so when He is praying in John 17, He's praying as the great high priest of Hebrews 4. Okay, I'm going to read that really quick. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Says there, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus, He is able to sympathize with your weaknesses, with all the struggles that you're going through. He's the one who in every respect has been tempted as you are, and yet without sin. Wasn't He tempted? He could tempted to fear, right? Christ, when He came down from heaven, He became a man. He experienced these things. He had fears about what would happen to Him in Gethsemane. Wasn't He praying to the Lord? Lord, if this cup can be taken from me, but yet not my will, but Yours, right? Or the temptation to become bitter or angry at His enemies who were harming Him, or even just discontent with His situation and what He had to go through. And yet, Christ didn't give in. He did not sin. So when He intercedes for you in your sufferings, He knows exactly how you feel. He knows how tough it is sometimes with your children because He endured through the difficulties that are far greater than what we experience. And yet He didn't sin. And so He knows how to make you stand in the midst of your trials. And He also knows that without Him, you can't do any of this. And so this is why Jesus prays for you in this way. In John 17, 15, it says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So Jesus doesn't ask to remove the difficulties from your life or to take you out of the difficulties. He asks the Father to keep you, to help you endure, because these are the very means that he's going to use to sanctify you. We know that God's ultimate goal for us is to be fully transformed into the likeness of Christ. So these trials you're experiencing with your kids, as you're raising them up, you have this task, right? You're raising them up, but God is using that trial, this task, to make you more like Christ. And so there's two things going on here. So after asking the Father to keep you, it makes sense that in verse 17, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So in other words, Jesus wants you to go through these trials, right? It's part of a sovereign plan for you, because your response to the trials, if it's based on truth, his truth, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is what actually makes you more holy. As you are going through these trials, by having to suffer through them, you're being taught to run to Christ and to the promises in his word. And so when you see sufferings in light of his truth, this changes your perspective. You're able to see that dealing with a difficult child, it's an opportunity to exalt Christ. You can see that confessing your failures as a mom and repenting of them, it's a necessary pain that you have to go through in order to reach that ultimate goal of transformation. You know, severe trials have a way of making you reject your own wisdom, right? Because sometimes God brings us to the end of ourselves, right? Where we just don't know what to do. And so these trials will make us reject our own wisdom, will make us reject our own strength, because we see our helplessness. But that's a good thing. When you are at the bottom, all you have to do, the only way you could look is up, right? Look up to Christ. Look up to God and ask him for help. Ask him for mercy. And he is faithful to show you that his grace is sufficient. So suffering makes you pray to him more. It makes you trust him more. And it makes you love him more, because you're experiencing his care and his faithfulness as you go through these trials. So in verse 18, as I said before, Jesus sent you into the world, and right now your world is your children. And as God allows, as your children grow up, and maybe you're not as involved in raising them when they're young, as they grow up, your audience will expand to others. Right? Your ministry to be able to preach the gospel goes from your children to the others around you. Unsaved family, neighbors, friends, you know, whoever God puts in your life. And so when you obey him in this commission to preach the good news, there's great joy. Okay? Because as your children grow up, just as the men were talking about, you adapt your parenting, but you also adapt your ministry and capability to serve. You know, when your kids are older, they don't need you as much to change diapers, to do all those physical things. And so you're freed up a little bit more to serve in different ways. And so don't get discouraged by this season if you feel like you're tied down, if you feel like you can't do the things you used to do when you didn't have kids. See and consider that this season of motherhood, it's the greatest opportunity that you have to preach the gospel, really. You know, you have a captive audience in your kids, if you think about it. And so use that. Think of it that way. You know, as we've already said, our greatest desire and our highest aim is that our kids would love and follow the Lord, that they would serve him and live for him and bring him glory. And so if that's your greatest desire, then to see that fulfilled in your children and salvation, that should be your greatest joy. And the fact that we're still on this earth, it points to this hope of salvation. You know, when Christ left to go back to the Father, it's because his work was going to be done. It's finished. But us, we're still here on this earth. So you have to think, you know what? My work that God has for me, it's not done. God still has work for me to do. So I'm going to minister to my children. I'm going to rely on His Spirit. I'm going to rely on the strength of Christ to do these things, to preach the gospel to my kids, to preach the gospel to those that God puts in my path, and to be thankful that He is giving time. He's giving a chance for my children to get saved. And you think about, I think it's 2 Peter. Let me look here. 2 Peter, I believe. Let me make sure. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is a real hopeful verse for parents, I think. You know, when you think about it, the fact that our kids are here, still here, we're still here, look at this verse and say, you know, this is God's patience. That's what He's showing us. He's giving us this chance to be saved, because that's the heart of God, isn't it? He says He doesn't wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so we need to cling to this, cling to the hope that this verse gives us, that this is the heart of God towards our kids. He doesn't want them to perish. And so we plead to God for their salvation. Again, we are not responsible to save our kids, but our responsibility is leading them to Christ. Preparing that soil, that good fertile soil, so that when the gospel is shared, that hopefully in God's mercy, He will cause fruit, saving fruit, to come up from that seed. And that's really our hope as moms. So as you obey this calling, in John 17, we saw that Jesus prays for you. He prays that the Father will keep you until you accomplish all the work that He has given you to do. So hopefully, ladies, that's an encouragement. You know, I think we heard a lot of things these past 2 days. And it can be overwhelming to feel like I have a lot of work to do. Maybe I need to ask my kids for forgiveness. Maybe I need to be more diligent in doing this. Take heart. Jesus is praying for you. Christ is interceding on your behalf because He wants you to fulfill this calling that He's given you. And as I said earlier, He's given you all the resources you need, right? He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness to raise our children, because that's His heart towards our kids. And so I hope that you are encouraged. And let me just pray, okay, as we close. Father, thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to just share just my heart for these ladies. I'm in the trenches with these women. I have my children that I'm trying to raise up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And so I pray, God, that You would help us all to fix our eyes on Christ. Help us not to grow weary. Help us to remember that we are doing Your will and that You are pleased when we do that, when we obey You in this calling of motherhood. And so we thank You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen.